Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. To bring you Dwayne's World, thanks to Master Builders Victoria. Become a Master Builders Victoria member. Go to mbav.com.au. On this, thanks to Furphy, St Kilda Membership Day. Get all remaining home games when you buy a three-game membership. Call 1300 467 246. Matt Rendell has been good enough to join me to talk a little bit of footy. I love this segment every week. So do the people on the text machine. Matty, welcome to you.
G'day, Dwayne. How you going, Matty?
Yeah, good. Don't be afraid to send through a text any time on the Temper text machine. T-E-M-P-U-R. Temper mattresses and pillows like no other. Matty, 7-year or 8-year deal as it is for Christian Petrarca going forward has been the topic of the day. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I don't really like it. Look, I understand Alistair Lynch's deal that they did 10 years ago. 10 years it was. A long while ago, they needed someone with a profile to get up to Brisbane, so I understand why they did that. I think it was a 175 for 10 years, and it looked really bad at the start because he had chronic fatigue and couldn't get out of bed for the first 2 years of that contract. But they got value for money in the end, didn't they? He played virtually the 10 years and obviously played in three flags and leading goal kicker, and he was instrumental in being a success. So they got lucky, I suppose, in the end. Look, the 8 years, what's the pros, what's the and the cons? The pro is obviously that it puts to bed any conjecture. Obviously, he's going to be a star player, and you've got him for the rest of his career, basically. He'll be, what would Petrarca be, 33, 34 maybe when this finishes at least? I think he's about 25 now, so about 33.
Yeah, 25 now.
Look, he's a slow starter. I think it took him a long while to realise how fit he had to be to play AFL footy. He had enormous amount of talent. He was easily the best player in that draft. Should have gone number one. He was the best player for 2 years, actually, which is a credit to him, because usually they can have an average 17 and a great 18, or a great 17 and an average 18, but he had both. So he's finally found his mojo and worked out what he's got to do to be a successful league footy player. He's obviously in the best five players in the comp, I would think, right here, right now. Probably in the best three, really. So from a player point of view, I don't think it's an issue, but God, a lot of things can change in 7 or 8 years. You know, the coach might go, you get a different coach in, the team goes like a busted for some reason or another. Mental health plays a big issue here too. Don't discount that. I'm not saying that he's got issues there. He's a very confident, looks like a life-loving kid. Really like his attitude. But, you know, pressure gets to everyone. You know, you saw Brody Grundy's comments about the media early in the week to get off his back, basically. So, you know, he's feeling a bit of pressure with that long-term contract. Doesn't seem like Hill is at St Kilda. His isn't as long-term, but it's a lot of money. So there's a lot of issues that can happen. Now, I really love the Buddy Franklin one, because there's a big difference with Buddy Franklin, because he was going to Sydney. Sydney need drawing power. They always have. If you've sat in a game in the outer there, Dwayne, I don't know if you have or not, but I have. And Buddy's played, and I reckon half the people in the crowd went to watch Buddy play. So he adds enormous off-field value for the Sydney Swans. I'm saying in the tune between 10 and 15 million a year in income that he brings into Sydney Swans. So I can understand why they went after Joe Danaher. If you look at the way Joe Danaher is playing at the moment and his high marking and his mobility, you can understand why they're thinking out Buddy in Joe Danaher. And people would come in Sydney to watch Joe Danaher play, as they are going in Brisbane to watch him play. So I like to see players value add. That's why I was sceptical about the Grundy one. I don't think people are going to watch Brady Grundy play. He's enormous value for the team, but I don't think people are going to watch him play. But in Petrarca's case, I do think he brings people through the gate. So he's been consistent for a couple of years now, really consistent, good player, a great player, really. And people want to come and watch him play. So I think, look, I'm really worried about the length of tenure, But I've got no issue with the player that they sign for that length of tenure.
What about a Sam Walsh or a Marcus Bontempelli? Are there any other players that you would? I mean, what's the longest deal you would give a guy like that?
Well, the good thing about Petrarca is he hardly ever misses. So that's a bonus, isn't it? I mean, as against someone, and Dusty, he never misses. As against someone like DeGoey, who's a similar type of player. I know Lee Matthews thinks he wouldn't do up his bootlaces, but at his best, he's a similar type of player. But he misses a lot of games with injury. So Bont never misses either. I think if you've got a player who's a star player for you, he brings people through the gate. He's a great leader, and that's also important. As long as they can bring leadership, there's probably three or four others. Walsh would definitely be. People, after watching him play on the weekend, I wasn't there live, but watching the game, I thought, no, you've got a stack of star power. And for a slight kid, he's tough as teak. It was a pleasure to watch him play, and you could do it with him as well. I think he never misses, and he brings. And the other issue is about this. You need to bring effort and attitude week in, week out, Dwayne. And that's what those players do. Buddy never, ever doesn't bring effort. Same with Petrarca, or once he worked it out. Bontempelli, the same. Walsh, the same. You know, Cripps, the same, even though he hasn't been the same player. But you need to bring effort. That is incumbent on the player to bring effort week in, week out when you sign those long-term expensive contracts.
You mentioned DeGoey, and you mentioned Lee Matthews last night on Sports Day saying that he wouldn't, he's not Dustin Martin's bootlaces. There's been a few saying that they'd trade DeGoey. Where are you with that thought?
Gee. No, I'm not in favour of it, and I'll tell you why. Obviously, they've got a mountain of problems are there at the moment with Collingwood. So, but if you look at their list and do their best 22, I know you don't often get the best 22, but just let's look at their best 22. I think next year it's still capable of winning the flag. Pendlebury's basically the oldest at 33, but he could play till 36 and 37. They could find him another posse off half back. He could get some long, three or four years there easy. Sidebottom's 30, 31. He's still got plenty left in him. A lot of those blokes have still got a lot of footy left in them. I'm thinking of Elliot and blokes around close to the 30. If they can get some of these good kids up to speed, where they're lacking now with Treloar, Phillips and Stevenson and Aish in particular going out is that they've lost all the middle tier. So the middle tier they've got left is Maynard, Grundy, DeGoey and Moore is basically the four they've got left. So they, on their day, Dwayne, are stars, and they need them to play well week in, week out. So they need to keep those four together for them to be a chance to have any success over the next couple of years. I really like their kids. They have got a great bunch of kids here ready to go, but they're 19, 20, rather 18, 19, 20. So they need these senior players to be in, week out, and producing their best so these kids are allowed to be, have ups and downs in their team. So right here, right now, if you traded DeGoey, the bottom six teams aren't going to trade for him because they're not in the window to win a premiership. And if you're going to take DeGoey, you have to be in the window. So you're probably only going to get a first-round pick that's going to be outside 8, 9, 10. And I don't think that's value for him at his best. Now, I know he's not at his best at the moment, but I'm convinced that with a change of guard, and that has to come, that I'm sure that with a new coach coming in, he can get back to something like his best, which was 2018. He's kicked 48-21. He was a star. 19, he was pretty good as well. Last year, he didn't do much and he missed a lot of games with injury, but he won two games for him off his own boot. And that's what he's capable of doing. Him, like everyone else in the team, looks completely lost. And Nick Riewoldt got it right there. They're playing without soul. And I heard him and someone else make that comment. I think it was Matthew Lloyd. That's a great saying for what they're playing like now. So I'm sure he's still got his best footy in front of him.
So you're saying the team that's currently 17th, 1-6 on the ladder, one win, six losses,
yep,
with a change of guard, with a change of coach, could be in the premiership window again
I think
year.
So. If you go and do their best 22, 25, I think they're still capable. In fact, I've written it here somewhere on a piece of paper. So Quayner, Maynard, Moore, Howe is a great back four there with a Kelly and a Keane even, and you still got Ruffhead there. You know, your midfield of Chris Brown, Pendle, Sidey, Grundy, Dacos, that's without Nick Dacos, who will be in there somewhere next year, is still really good. And you've got Cox, Majacek, Elliott, DeGoey, McCreary, who showed plenty this year, and I would put Nathan Murphy in there as well. And you've still got a bench of Hosking, Elliott, Noble, Reef McGuinness, who's going to be a good player, Sy, Callum Brown, McRae, Tom Wilson, who I reckon's ready to go, the basketballer. You've got Cameron, Rusko, who played very well off halfback last week, and Henry's going to be a star. And Poulter showed enough on the weekend to show that he's going to be a very good player. I think they've got the basis to still be a very good team.
Here's Lee Matthews on Sports Day last night. Not talking about DeGoey. We played that a little bit earlier on. But here's Lee Matthews adding his voice to those doubting whether Nathan Buckley will be there next year. We played you Matthew Lloyd from earlier in the week. You've heard what Matty Rendell has had to say about it. Here's the great Lee Matthews on it last night.
It's not whose fault it is that counts. It's who gets the blame. So that's exactly the colour Colin can... Like, everything's gone wrong for Collingwood over the last 12 months, hasn't it? Almost everything. They're really good players aren't playing well. Obviously, you can look at where their list sits, all that kind of stuff. So the people at Collingwood who are looking at it, okay, where do we apportion blame? But I do feel this exists at football clubs. Every now and again, it's not about who's better, but every now and again, they just need a change. Mm. Need some fresh air, need to start afresh. Unfortunately, a new senior coach is almost the only thing you can do at a football club that gives you that fresh air of a new start. Footy teams do it week in, week out, don't they?
Yep.
You play the game, you win or lose, you celebrate or commiserate, and then a day later you start the review, you look back, you learn, and then you have that fresh start as you go into next week's game. So I don't know what's going to happen at Collingwood, but clearly that fresh start is something, I think, unless there was a U-turn in the next couple of months, is probably going to be needed.
Last word on that, Matt, before we talk about the grand final rematch, Richmond Geelong.
Oh, well, he's spot on, isn't it? You know, he's been there a long time. There's not one player who's improved this year, Dwayne. Not one. And last year, I counted two, Maynard and Moore. Moore looked like he was going to win the Brownlow after three games this year. Have a look at him now. He's a shell of the player. Maynard should have been All of Australian last year. Shell of the player. So there's clearly something wrong with their system down there and they need to make a change. He's spot on.
So the grand final rematch, who wins it? What kind of game style is Geelong going to bring to the table? Richmond know exactly what Geelong's going to try and do, and Geelong know exactly what Richmond's going to try and do.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, Geelong played a lot of fast and slow last year. They looked heaps better when they played fast and not so good when they played slow, and they're doing a bit the same again this year. Had a couple of lucky wins and then had an unlucky loss to sort of balance out the ledger a little bit. Look, I know Grimes and Cochin are going to be missing. Obviously, they get Lambert and Dusty back. I just can't tip past Richmond because I know what I'm going to get. I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to get off Geelong. Dangerfield missing obviously balances out the Cochin one too. But I was just thinking about, you know, Richmond have been so good for 4 years now, 5 years really. And I thought, well, how good is their system going? They have every player who plays week in, week out for them to playing to their best of their ability, which is completely opposite to Collingwood. So I just quickly wrote some names down. These blokes are playing, as we saw them in when they got drafted and right through their careers at Richmond, are playing to basically the best of their ability right here, right now. Short, Baker, Bolton, Bolter, Castagna, not the most talented player going around, but he plays to the best of his ability. Graham, Nankervis, McIntosh, Dusty's playing to the best of his ability. Rewalt, Lynch, I mean, you can go through their whole team. They've got a great system with great belief and great trust. And this is how they can just come out after half time and just smash the Bulldogs last week with pressure, really. And that's the pressure got Geelong last year in the second half of the grand final. They have the ability to step up that pressure index, if you want to call it that, at any time during a game. It's like someone, it's like they whisper it around the ground, we need to pick up our pressure, because it just changes really quick and up they step. So I like them because I can trust them and what they're going to bring week in, week out. They can have a downer, as we saw against, they didn't bring the pressure against Melbourne. They're probably a bit shocked by Melbourne's pressure, to tell you the truth, and never recovered from it. And the same thing with the Swannies. I think they took the Swannies lightly, and before too long, the game was gone. I don't think you'll see that again next time they play the Swannies. But I just love what they bring. And I ask the question, how many Richmond players get dropped for poor form over the last 3 or 4 years? The only one I could come up with was Rioli. I don't think they've had hardly a player drop for poor form. Players might have missed out because they got gun players coming back, or they need to rotate, or they give someone a rest. So that tells you how well they're going when hardly any players drop out because of that.
A couple of quick ones. Tex Walker wants to play next year. He's kind of left it to Adelaide to say, okay, do we lock in one of our all-time greats, the guy that's kicked the most goals for us, our greatest captain that we've had since the Bresciutto era. What do they do with Tex now that he's asked for next year?
You sign Tex. You're not paying him a stack a day, but Adelaide need all their senior players playing and playing well, Dwayne. We've seen that this year, and at the end of last year when Sloane came back from injury, they had lead in the midfield. And we've seen last week with no Sloane, no Crouch, that they need their senior players playing, and they're playing well because their forward line is Tilthorpe, who shows plenty and looks like he's going to be a star, Frampton, Himmelberg, Fogarty. And Fogarty, we're not sure where he sits right here, right now. So Tilthorpe needs Tex to be in there because Tilthorpe doesn't need the best key back every week. And the same with Frampton, Himmelberg and Fogarty. I think Tex will get the best back every week, and that takes some pressure off. And at the same time, if you want to play three of those tools together, I mean, you can easily move Tex up to a wing and he can play a game here and there on the wing as well, and let those three blokes have the forward half, basically. So I think it's important for them in particular because they haven't got a lot of senior players. They've lost a lot of senior players over the years, last few years, so they need to keep as many as they can for as long as they can, I think.
I know you're sticking around, Matty, so we'll take a quick break. Matt Randell staying with us. I'll read a couple of texts that have come through as well for Matty. One here saying Josh Caddy's been dropped a couple of times.
Yeah, he has probably been squeezed the other out one by guys. I didn't think of, yeah.
Yeah, has been squeezed out by guys that have just been in too good a form in the twos to not get picked. Back with more Matt Randell after the break. Here with Dwayne as well. Great to have your company. By the way, Dream Street are giving you the chance to win dream seats to your favourite sporting events. Head to iCanWin.com.au if you want to find out more. So, Matty, great that you've been able to stick around. Yeah. What did you make of the Bailey Fritch decision last night?
I didn't like it at all. I agree with everyone else. I think he should have probably got a week. I know he's stiff. No, I think if you're going to hit... You can't be talking about hitting people in the head and then someone gets hit with an elbow. Admittedly, he had the ball in his hand and nothing happens. So I was a bit miffed. Well, no, I wasn't miffed by it. I couldn't believe that it's sending wrong message, I would have thought.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. What about the fuss about Jamari Ugal-Hagen and when he should debut and the way Luke Beveridge is handling it? It's hard because we don't see as deep as Luke Beveridge sees as to whether Jamara's ready or not.
Couple of interesting things. He plays in the forward line as a third tall, sort of in second tall, maybe in the VFL there. I would have thought if a fitness was an issue, and you know they all missed a year of footy last year, and we're seeing a lot of kids from Victoria in the under 18s this year really struggled. Dwayne, who we thought were going to be stars, they are miles behind. After speaking to recruiters with the new system that they've bought in. He didn't play last year, so he would have been a long way behind. I would have thought a good thing to do for him was play him off a halfback flank or a wing. Get him to run up and down the ground. Maybe he's not conditioned enough to do that, and that's why they've got him there. But I'm happy for him to, you know, he's got to earn his stripes. And the way they were set up with Bruce Norton and English was really working for them. Didn't work last week with Shacky, but I understand why they brought him in to be a second ruck. Jamal Hughes-Hagan isn't going to ruck for him. So, you know, if you lose Martin in an early stage of the game, you're going to have to, they would have had to ruck Shacky last week. So they get English back, I understand that. And who's going to come out for him? Bruce, maybe. And maybe if Bruce went back and filled the void there where they've lost a player or two, that could happen. But no, I'm happy for him to bide his time and learn basically work ethic up there, Dwayne. That's what he needs to get into his game, you know. More work ethic, more times going the ball, more times going the ball when you know you're not going to get it is what he's got to learn. But he's, you know, if you watch the game the other Thursday night, you can see how much natural talent he's got. He's got a stack of it. So just hold your nerve. You know, take it easy and he'll get his game time. He'll play a few this year and he might stay in, but he might come back out.
Of all the teams that are outside the eight right now, Matty, Fremantle 9th, Gold Coast 10th, Giants 11th, Carlton 12th, Adelaide 13th, Saints are 14th, Essendon 15th, Hawthorne 16, Collingwood 17, North Melbourne 18. Who's more likely out of that bunch to make the finals, do you think?
GWS for me. Finlayson coming back in, Hogan in, looked really good last week. I know it was against Adelaide and they struggled down back. You know, they had kids like Nick Murray and Butts playing back there as key backs, but the way they went about their business even the week before, their midfield starting to come together, and didn't Whitfield look good with ball in hand on the weekend? We forgot how much they missed him. You know, Green and Hopper are beauties in the midfield. Big bodied mids playing really well. And we saw Green go forward and cause some damage up there. He's going to be a gun player, Green. Hopper's already a gun, I believe. Maybe a bit short down back. Heavy reliance on Taylor. Keith's doing a reasonable job down there. And I saw that they played Riccardi, who's been really good the forward line. They played him in defence in their reserves on the weekend, and he took like something like 15 marks and had 30-odd possessions. So maybe Riccardi coming in to help out in defence too. He reads the ball really well. But if they can keep Ward, Green, Hopper, Kelly, Whitfield, and I'm missing a couple of other there, mids, together with their forward line, which is looking really dangerous with Toby Green, and I've forgotten the small forward's name too there as well. I think they look really dangerous. You don't want to be playing them at the moment. I reckon they're the team that's going to come in and they're going to cause some havoc. Bobby Hill was the one I was thinking of. There's another, other one, Daniels. That's the one I was thinking of. They got two great small forwards. Bobby Hill's as dangerous as hell. They could give this a massive shake. They could come from a fair way back here. They might rue the game they should have won against the Saints at the start of the year when they had that halfway through the last quarter. They had that game all over and somehow they lost it. I don't know how. But they're looking really dangerous at the moment. I think they're the big dangers.
And who's the best place to beat Richmond, do you think? Or you said after round three, Melbourne can win the flag, and you were ahead of the game on that. Who do you think's best placed at the moment?
Well, Melbourne play a very similar type of game to them right here, right now. They wouldn't want to get too many injuries. They wouldn't want to lose Gawn. He's a massive plus for them. And they wouldn't want to lose a May or a Lever, I would have thought. And they've lost him over the last couple of years, those two blokes. I think they're super important. They've lost Tomlinson, but I reckon they can cover. They've got blokes who can cover. So Petty is a good player. I like him. He could fill in there. And they've got McDonald. They could easily move back because they've got Wiedemann and Brown sitting in the wings there with Jackson, who's been a star for them so far this year. But they're playing very similar with that forward pressure. And I think they're probably looking at, do they want Wiedemann and Brown in the same team together? Does it detract from our forward pressure of Pickett? Oh, God, how good's he been? Pickett and Spargo. Spargo's not doing a heap ball-wise, But his pressure is enormous. And Fritz gives them X factor up there. It's whether they want to bring two in there, I'm not sure. But they're certainly a danger because they've got a midfield that can match Richmond's. And obviously, yep. You know, they've got a player who's played on Dusty and done very well twice in a row too. So that's always handy to know that you've got a player who can play on Dusty in a grand final.
Go on, Matty. I was just going to ask you whether you're trusting Port Adelaide and West Coast to be able to get it right away from home at some stage when the whips are cracking later this year. I mean, well, I should probably put the Brisbane Lions into that equation too.
Yeah, Brisbane Lions back to their best. Now, this is a big call, but Joey Danaher could nearly win the grand final for the Lions. He's starting to look awesome. And is he a difficult matchup? How athletic is he for that bloke? And if he kicks straight, they're a serious chance. If they have to have all their players up playing well, there's no doubt about that. They're going to have to play away from home. Port Adelaide as well. They've been disappointing in two losses away from home. I don't know why that is. I'm going to ask you a question here, Dwayne. Are they a bit light on in the midfield? Is there too much reliance on Wines and Boak in that midfield? Have they got enough options there?
Well, they have decided, I know Rockliffe's injured at the moment, but he was getting 40 possessions week after week in the Sandfall. They decided not to bring him back in because they wanted a better ball user when they get it. I think their forward line, when their forward line doesn't make the most of their entries, they suffer. So Charlie Dixon's had three duck egg games this year. Three games Charlie Dixon's had where he hasn't kicked a goal, and it's been the three losses against the big gun teams that it's happened against. So when you look at, you know, their forward line functioning, they function really good. But in the losses they've had, I think the loss against the West Coast, he didn't kick a goal.
Yep.
The loss against, I don't think he kicked the goal against Richmond, even though they won that game.
Yep.
And the loss against the Lions, he didn't kick a goal either.
No, well, that's interesting. So you're blaming Dixon.
No, I'm maybe blaming them not to be able to pick up the slack when Charlie doesn't win it for them.
All right, so do they go to him too much? So next time they play one of these really good sides away from home who've got really good key backs, and he played on those games he was poor in, played on really good key backs. The next key back I'm going to watch closely to see if they actually do something different with Dixon and try and get him to run out of the play and open up that forward line and not actually kick it to him. Because that might be the secret to unlocking that forward line against the good team. So, but there's still a massive chance, I think. Their best, and you know I always talk about this, Dwayne, always go off people's best players or teams. Go off their best and find out when they're not at their best. Find out the reason why they're not at their best. So their best is good enough. Obviously, we've got Richmond, we've got Brisbane, and West Coast is an interesting one too. They've had some really poor results away, except they were really good against Western Bulldogs and probably should have won the game. But they need Yo and Shuey back in that forward line, even though they were fantastic without them on the weekend. They come back in, they really provide a genuine toughness and run on the ball, and Yo provides that I can shut down anyone in the game if you use me in that role, which is great value. And really interesting watching, 360 and on the couch and that, watching those forwards and how they play at West Coast. And I think me and you, Dwayne, have been screaming out for years to leave the key forwards at home. There's one team doing it very successfully, and they've just kicked bags every week. And they're not knackered when they get back there they haven't chased up the ground. They haven't got back to the half-back line and then trying to get back and contest mark and then kick a goal and then tackle people. So one club's sort of worked it out. That's worked out beautifully for them, hasn't it?
I agree with you 100%. And a couple on the text as well. Joe Danaher's a Jet. Dwayne Lyons can absolutely win it. Adam from South Bank. We might be quoting the Joe Danaher trade as the greatest win-win of all time for the next 50 years. If the Lions win it with Joe this year and Essendon win the flag next year, with all the kids they got from the Joe Danaher trade because of the compensation picks. Might be talking about that as the greatest win-win trade of all time. Great to have a chat to you, Matty. Always good to have you in the studio to be able to pick your brain, and can't wait to do it again next week.
No worries, Drain. Thanks very much.
Matt Rendell, he's a gun. Fitzroy champ, recruiting sensation, and he's been a brilliant pickup by SEN. Thanks to Furphy. By the way, it's St Kilda Membership Day. Get all remaining home games when you buy a three-game membership. Call 1-300-467-246. Stink a couple of calls in after the break, and I read out a few texts as well on the Temper text machine, T-E-M-P-U-R. Temper, mattresses and pillows like no other. One here on the text. Dwayne, this is on me supporting if they decided to change from 15 metres to 20 metres for a kick and for a running bounce. 20-metre kick minimum, question mark. 20-metre bounce, question mark. Just stop changing the bloody rules every year, sincerely. Thanks for that, but they did change it from 10 to 15. So it's already been changed. Imagine if it was only 10 that you had to kick now and only 10 you had to run for a bounce. So I'm glad they did change it when they did. And at some stage, I reckon they'll change it again. We'll take a break.